Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can follow us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at Believe Network. Guys, the tournament is here, or it was. It is for some. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there. The odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. I didn't say the date before. It's Thursday, March 28th. John, it's not going to be, we're going to save the good stuff for last. Okay. There is some fun stuff to talk about. There's a game called hockey. We're learning a lot about it, but we're going to save that until the end because that's fun. We want to end on a fun note.
Sure.
The stuff before that is actually probably what most people tune into this for, which is just going to be us more or less complaining for, the better part of this episode about the sad state of affairs inside our men's basketball program. Do we want to start with that or do we want to start with women's?
Well, first, shout out to the women's team. Made it to the round of 32. They lost to North Carolina in the first round. The funny part about them, we always talk about expectations, right? They outperformed expectations this year. And, you can walk away from that season being like, wow, yeah, I don't know what the ceiling of this program is yet. This is, it could be great. And that's a fun feeling.
Yes.
The not fun feeling is when you're the men's basketball fan as well, and you're afraid of what the ceiling could be now. Is there a new ceiling for this program? And that is not a comfy conversation, but let's have it.
Yeah. So for those who, are living the blissful life for not necessarily knowing that what transpired last weekend, on one hand, Michigan State did make it to the round of 32, really probably playing top to bottom one of their more complete games of the season against Mississippi State, dispatched them somewhat easily in the literally very first game of the round of 64. But that's not really the point. The point is more or less what happened after that. Michigan State went on to play North Carolina in the round of 32. And it is important to acknowledge this was a 1-9 matchup for a reason. North Carolina, one of the top five teams in college basketball the entire season, pretty easily did away with Michigan State. That the final score kind of is what it is, right? Like a 1-9 game, North Carolina winning comfortably by 16. You know, that's not in and of itself disappointing or surprising on the surface. What is disappointing, and albeit not surprising at all, is the way in which we got there. So with 9 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the first half, Michigan State was up 26-14. Mm-hmm. This was, I believe, right after a Tyson Walker made three in transition, followed pretty quickly thereafter by a timeout by Hubert Davis, North Carolina's head coach. After that, Michigan State was outscored 71-43 the rest of the game. And if the contrast of the first game of the tournament and the second game of the tournament weren't enough to perfectly define this last 4 years of Michigan State basketball, the two parts of this game were. I mean, this, John, I don't know if you felt the same way watching this, but it was so unfortunately predictable. Mm-hmm. In that MSU looked, especially this season, you know, it's probably a larger theme across of, like I said, kind of the last 4 years, but really more the last three. But this year in particular, Michigan State time and time again hung with some of the best teams in the country. A lot of teams that have ones and twos next to their names in this tournament. And then when it was money time, they fell apart. And this game was, unfortunately, just the latest example of that, and unfortunately ends Michigan State's season.
Yeah, it is a tough way to go out, especially it almost hurts more that they started so strong, because there was a moment that I think a lot of MSU fans had where it was like, hey, man, I just saw them come off of a really good game, the last game. Mm-hmm. They're doing the thing, like they're doing the Michigan State program thing, not like this team thing. And then they became, like you said, an embodiment of themselves, not the program, and stopped defending and stopped rebounding and stopped running. And that's not going to be a successful remedy to beating a team like North Carolina, which was a gift, by the way. They were the worst. Mm-hmm. So I think you know, it's kind of, I don't know how much the game is worth even talking about. You know, it was good to see, like, there were positives. Xavier Booker played well. Mm-hmm. You could feel really good about that. Trey Holloman had one to forget. At least there's something he can think about all offseason as motivation. Kohler's minutes were fine. Walker did what he does, 24 points on 9-16. Like, that's what you need from somebody. And then Malik Hall did what his part, right? 17 points, 9 rebounds. It's kind of what you expect. Had 4 turnovers, but can't be perfect. A guy like him, as we talked about all season, shouldn't have the offensive usage that he does, but he has to. So it's going to lead to more turnovers. And then Aikens, quiet 11 points, and A.J. Hogard with 3 points, 4 assists, and 3 turnovers. 1-10 shooting.
1-10 from the field.
Yep. So I think we had talked about last time, like, you were going to need 3 of the 4 of those 4 to show up in a big way. And it just didn't happen. So you may have needed at least even like 3 and not a stinker from one with somebody, and that didn't happen. So they promptly lost by 16, which sucks. But I think the thing that sucks most is when you continue to get in these are like, in, we call them program check games. Like, this was a perfect barometer for a program check.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's was not. Playing Kansas State to double overtime or whatever is not a program check game. This was a program check game. And it went, unfortunately, exactly how it is right now. And the worst part about it is last time we had a program check game in the NCAA tournament, I believe it was against North Carolina in 2016-17, you could feel okay about losing that one by 20 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had all freshmen playing. This was all seniors in upperclassmen. And so that begs a lot of questions about the ceilings, right? Like, this is your most veteran team in some time, and they got smacked on the big stage. So how much can you expect of a team next year with all new faces? We'll measure that as the roster fills.
See, so I do – there's two pieces to this. And it's tough to even, like, approach it without sounding, like, very – callous and just sort of feeling like a bad person, but it's like the old Dennis Green thing. It's like, yep, they are who we thought they were. Like, that's what this team was.
They showed up
exactly the way that anybody who's watched in the last 3 years would have thought that they did. Tyson Walker did his thing. Malik Hall did his thing. No one else showed up. I mean, that's just the honest truth. And so when you say, you know, what's this team going to look like with a bunch of new faces and all that stuff, my counterpoint is, like, the same faces didn't help. Like, they didn't get better every year with the same faces. Like, continuity did nothing for them. So you're almost at a point where it's like, well, you know, yeah, we got to try something here. And I think that that's unfortunately where they're at. And I think that as you look ahead, this is, and I do not think we're, like, overstating it when we say that this is maybe, aside from probably those first few seasons where Izzo didn't actually make the tournaments, we're talking, like, whatever year that was, like 1996 or something like that. This might be the most important offseason of the Tom Izzo era. And I really, like, don't think that that's, like, some huge statement to be making, because we are starting essentially from scratch when it comes to the faces that we're going to be seeing.
Maybe two starters.
Maybe. And Izzo has been, you know, reluctant about utilizing the portal in the past, and it's staring him in the face right now that there's basically nowhere else to turn than to go to the portal to literally, like, fill out a roster at this point. So, you know, how does he deal with that? Is he able to put pride aside for all intents and purposes and, like, you know, come to grips with modern college basketball roster building? Now, again, to his credit, he hasn't quit on the trail. He brought in a highly recruited class last year. He's used the portal for guys like Joey Hauser and Tyson Walker. He deserves a lot of credit for that. But if not only the players, but if something with the coaching staff, in my estimation, doesn't, like, something's got to change in the room. If it's the same guys and the same roster plus a class of freshmen, what have we seen in the last handful of years in terms of player development that makes us expect something is just, oh, it's all better now? Like, I just don't know. The optimist in me says, like, listen, the pieces are there. I mean, Xavier Booker, for his warts, is just a bundle of skills waiting to be unlocked. What we saw out of Jeremy Fears when he was playing was extremely exciting. And I think, you know, if Jaden Akins comes back, he's probably going to be shifted into a two guard role, which is really where he should have been all along. Trey Holloman, we saw a lot of good things from defensively. So there are some pieces. And then, you know, the kids coming in, Kerr Tang, Jesse McCullough, even Garrett Norman buried on the bench was a part of a good recruiting class. So, I mean, it's not like there isn't talent, but again, we haven't had a Matt Costello type development. We have, you know what I mean? We just haven't seen it in so long. And that was the hallmark of this program for so long. So when I say it, like, this is the biggest offseason, it's because if it gets away from MSU and they trot out this same kind of thing again for the fifth straight year next year, you still have the same name, but now you're not what the front of your jersey says you are to a degree. That's it just doesn't mean the same thing. And that's just being honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's tough. So I think, like you said, they almost have to go to the portal to, as you said, fill out a roster. You know, you're going to probably lose AJ Hogard. We know Tyson Walker will be gone. And quickly for Tyson, I just want to quickly share a couple things about him this season to give an idea of where he fit in the all-time list. He finished 22nd all-time in scoring, and he played for 3 years. So that's pretty impressive. Jeez. Malik Hall finished 32nd in points scored, albeit with 5 years of playing. So stopping right there, your two best players were a guy who finished 22nd, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt of playing 4 years. His freshman year will add, 200 points. So like 16, 27. It's a guy that's probably like not quite top 15 scorer all time, which is really good, right? But the second best player is in 5 years, 34th all time. So in reality, I can go back and look, not a top 50 scorer. Okay. I'm going to stop right there. Like, honestly, there's no way you can expect it on its face, just that. That's not going to win a national championship.
No, it's not going to win a Big Ten championship.
Right. So, like, I think, you know, I know it's all-time scorers, and I understand that that's, kind of assuming that there are four-year guys that can do that. But you can just kind of see where our four-year guys were at. And so, like you said earlier, like, Tom really leaned into a veteran team. Having more men, you know, grown men, can help win. I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I think these guys just never learned how to win along the way. That may be a path forward. But like you said, need to hit the portal because Ali Call also gone. And he finished, as they see as well. Sorry, just pulling up his stats here. Walker finished 11th all-time in three-pointers made at MSU. Sixth all-time in season steals, and was knocking on the door of a top 10 season leading scorer. So he pulled his weight. Hogard actually is finishing fifth all-time in assists, which was kind of surprising to me. I don't know if you were surprised by that, but
I mean, I am surprised by that to a degree, but he also has been playing substantially and he's probably the victim of expectations probably more than anybody else, because if you look at his numbers objectively on paper, you're like, damn, that's a nice consistent third or fourth fiddle. Like, it's an excellent third fiddle on your team, really. This is what it should be. But I think the frustration with AJ in particular is just that it feels like it should have been so much more than that, you know.
People saw more in him.
Well, he had flashes of legitimate brilliance. Like he was supposed to be the next great Michigan State point guard. Like, let's not even pretend anything else. Like, that is what he was tapped as in moments. I mean, I remember as a freshman and a sophomore even being like, this guy, if he pulls it together, is going to be a very, very good player. And it's not that he wasn't a good player. I know we're tough on him, but you're tough on somebody because you see the potential in them. But I want to let you finish the point you're making. And then I think there's like a larger thing when we talk about like roster construction next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, you go through those four guys and Akins didn't take the step people thought he would. He just didn't. It didn't mean he went backward. He just didn't take a big enough step forward. Is it because he was out of position? I don't know. I don't really want to hear that, though, because you were asked to do the same thing again and didn't take a big enough step, right? So I don't know how changing it, your position to a two is going to unleash, but I hope it does. Mm-hmm. And I hope that with all of the new faces that need to come in, we adjust as a team, you know, our offensive strategy in general, and yep. with to play to the personnel. The team got so reliant on half-hearted sets that ended in a Tyson Walker and AJ Hogard high ball screen that was not as successful as it wasn't bad, but it just certainly was not the path to a national championship. And that's got to change. You know, I don't think we saw Jaden Akins can't do that. So there just needs to be a different strategy altogether into using the personnel that you need, because the amount of minutes being spread around to guys who did not see those types of minutes last year is, you know, going to be a pretty seismic. And like you said, though, maybe that's a really good thing.
So here's the thing that this team, I think maybe the biggest thing that this team needs is a leader. Mm-hmm. He's a leader. He needs a heart and a soul. Izzo said it more times than anybody could possibly remember, that his best teams are player-led teams. Mm-hmm. The best player-led teams are the ones with a dog. Like, if there's one word to describe what Michigan State like players have been forever, it's dogs, Spartan dogs. And this team just didn't have that vocal dog that was a tough defender, that dove on the floor for balls, that played tough defense, that fought over screens. Like, plenty of productive players, but that's not the identity of this team, but it is the identity of the program. And you need to get back to that. And I think the
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's really one guy that jumps out at me, and it is Jeremy Pierce. Jeremy Pierce is maybe the toughest kid. I mean, we were talking about it, I think, one of the last few episodes. Like, this guy literally was shot, and he is out there saying, Like, yeah, you know, stuff happens. It makes you tougher. Like, if that's not a tough-minded kid, I don't know what is. Like, that should – it is so sad and insane that that happened to him. That it happens to anybody, but that it happened to him. And then for him to just be like, you know, we get through it, come back better. It is like, what? Like, that's the type of mentality where nothing's too much that this team had. You know, maybe that's dramatic, right? Like, that's real life. Basketball is basketball. But the point I'm trying to make is that you've got guys that – you got a guy that can lead. That's just, I think he embodies the spirit of what we've seen from so many other great point guards too. So I think he is maybe the biggest key to the whole thing in terms of like resetting the culture of the program. I don't think, you know, from everything you hear, like there's a lot of great play. I think Trey Holloman actually also has a chance to kind of be that guy. I don't think he's the star, you know, a true leader, because he's just, or he's not like a true star. I think he could be a really good role player. Just very possibly you're starting to next year. But he and Fears, in terms of a backcourt, just in terms of an identity, like that's Michigan State basketball. That's gritty, defensive, tough basketball. But it's got to be one of them. I really think it has to be one of them. They're guards. That's what Michigan State's always based their identity off of. They're the ones with the ball in their hand in the big moments. And if they're going to rely on bringing in a bunch of transfers, those are not the guys that build your culture. Even if you bring in the best transfers, that's not where your culture's been. Those guys are free agents. Those are hired guns for the most part. Mm-hmm. Not to say that they can't be really important. We've seen them be very important to Michigan State. But it's got to start internally. And I think those guys are the ones that have to bring it. Just from an identity standpoint, like they got to get back to being Michigan State. They just weren't that the last handful of years. And it, you know, showed up in the biggest moments. It's been tough, man. It's been difficult to not get real down. And I think the scariest thing, to be honest with you, like for me, is those no spring chicken. Like, yep. If it does not turn around this offseason, like, and we're talking about if he does, I hate to invoke it, but like if he does the Mark D'Antonio thing where he just keeps moving, shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic and sticking with their guys no matter what, not being open to trying different things and admitting like, hey, we got to figure this out, you know. If he's determined to go down with the guys that took him there, you know, I respect the pride that comes along with that. But, and I respect that he feels as though, hey, I'm a literal Hall of Famer. I do whatever I want. I get that. Totally understand it. But we can't be naive and think that there isn't a very real chance that that blows up in everybody's faces. And we're talking about a less than stellar end to a brilliant career.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about it. I think you're right, though. And, you know, we're saying it without saying it is you can't just be roster shakeups. It's got to be new opinions on the bench, too.
Yeah.
And it just has to. And it doesn't mean that people are bad coaches. It doesn't mean that they don't know ball. It doesn't mean that they can't be successful elsewhere. It just means that it's not working here. And it can't be... It's not just the players. And if it is, I guess we'll find out next season, because that would mean that this next year, next team, if they had the same coaches, would be much better. You would see them grow through the year. You would see them, you know, develop, et cetera. And maybe that happens. But we also are seeing names like Mark Montgomery is being floated for the Detroit Mercy job. He's a finalist. I imagine there aren't that many. I mean, who knows? We'll see. You know, there was a little buzz about Wojcik to Navy. Quite honestly, did not know that they still had a basketball program after David Robinson left. But good for them. Go Troops. Doug should go. Let me just leave it at that.
Here's one other thing I'm going to say is that it's not just the players. You're right. You want to know why we know it's not just the players? Because we've all seen Michigan State get up 26-14 on North Carolina and then make zero adjustments the rest of the game. That's been one of the most damning things, I think, about the last 2 years in particular, is that in addition to the player development, like, those two things aren't players' faults. Like, they rely on the coaches to make adjustments, handle their rotations. And instead, we see just these wild combinations of players. I mean, I think there's one point where it was Jackson Kohler and I think it was Jackson Kohler, Cohen Carr, and Booker all on the floor at the same time. It's like, just might as well just put Armando Bacot in the rim. Like, he may as well just stand there, drop the ball through with one hand, catch it with another, and just keep like going back and forth like he's at a carnival. Like, and it's just, you can't say that that's on the players. Like, you have to be the one that says, okay, we've seen these guys play all year, for the last, some of them longer than that. We know that they can't defend. We know that we're playing against a 20-10 guy. And guess what he did? He went for, you know, was it 18-7, actually not as bad as you'd think. But yeah, it's just stuff like that. And then the fact that we also just haven't seen guys get demonstrably all that much better over the course of their career. So it is 100% on both the players and the coaches.
Well, and before, you know, here's the thing. Again, these guys know more about the game. They've forgotten more than they know.
I'll also question. Say,
the game is not as complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated either. It's a pretty simple game too. You know, as complicated as it is, just any sport, you know, extremely complex. But they're also, it's also really, really simple. Like, and here's the problem. And everyone can see the weaknesses. And I get being defensive about it, but at the same time, like, it is what it is. So you can get as complex as you want, but guess what? It didn't work. So, you know, just because you got to make, then you need to make simpler adjustments, you know your personnel. So it's a little frustrating to have seen that play out throughout the year as well, like you said. But here we are. And, you know, we'll be watching from the couch this next weekend, or this weekend, and two Big Ten teams are still playing. One MSU split with, and one had Purdue on the ropes at their place. And I don't know if MSU was ever a national championship winning team, especially after what happened out of the gate, but it's frustrating to know that you're right there. And right there meaning, I don't know if this team was a top 16 team, but on some nights they are, and they didn't prove that enough throughout the season to even have that opportunity. So disappointing, right? That's all you could say about this season. I think there were only a few flashes, and just a lot of frustration, candidly.
Yeah, this is right up there. But yeah. I have to say, I think this is right up there with the most. Unfortunately, I think the last couple of years are really up there with the most frustrating. But this one in particular sits poorly with me. So much worse than the last couple of years, because even you go back, you know, to Tyson Walker's first year, right?
Yeah.
They're coming off a, you know, a rock fight of a season, mm-hmm. where you barely got into the first four, and of course lost the game you should have won there to UCLA, who eventually went on to go to what, at least the Final Four, if not the national championship game. Wow. So yeah, that one sucked. And then the next season, last season, didn't really go into that with like huge expectations, even though you hung with Duke I guess that was the year you hung with Duke. What am I getting mixed up? I think I'm getting a bunch of them mixed up. Either way, this one you came into ranked number four in the country, coming off of a win over Marquette. It probably should have been win over Kansas State. Like, it was, we were sitting here this time last March thinking like, oh, Michigan State, because of the way the bracket was breaking, like, they could easily go to the Final Four, and there wasn't anybody standing in their way. If you look at the Final Four from last year, I know we talked about it, it was like a bunch of random teams in UConn. And, you know, this year shaking out a little bit differently, but you come in with those expectations and you think like, okay, you've got all these seniors that have been through this, they've been through everything, and they're, they're going to be the guys that answer the call. This team's finally going to come together. And not only didn't they do that, but they went, it's not like they didn't win as many as you'd like, you know, they didn't win any. They won like one against Baylor. And then that was almost kind of it for the whole year. You beat Illinois. I mean, Illinois is in the Sweet 16, but like,
cool.
But that's just the, yeah, okay, you beat Illinois at home.
You're a conference team, and you're going to be hyped about that.
Yeah, dude, like, come on.
This.
Right, like, who are we? And that's just it. It's like we lost sight of that. I don't know. It's just been...
Well, that's kind of what kills me a little. I think our fans need a little bit of a reset, too. Because I think we get a little prisoner to the normalcy of the moment. Normalcy meaning mid... And, you know, looking at the transfer portal and being like, oh, I want that guy. Oh, he could be our next, you know, he could be our next Malik Hall. It's like, okay, really? We want this guy. He could be our next Tyson Walker. It's like, I think we need to aim a little higher. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that the portal is swimming with guys that can come in and be, you know, key guys on maybe the guys on a national championship winning team, but certainly we can aim a little higher than, you know, the type of comparisons that I've been seeing floating. So that said, the portal have not seen a ton of movement. There is, from Michigan State's point of view, there is definitely movement happening. People have committed at this point. People have committed to teams still in the tournament at this point. So I'm even more frustrated by our staff, candidly. I mean, truly. And I get doing things the right way. I do. And I actually appreciate that, you know, not tampering during the season. Mm-hmm. Clearly that's happened if you're committing to a team that's still playing. Like, you've just
made it
pretty obvious. But it's frustrating to not even see MSU on any lists so far for guys that are pretty well regarded. So who knows what's going to happen next. But an uninspiring start to the offseason, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay away from getting too frustrated about that in particular, just because, like...
I'm looking to be mad, man. People just
want
to
keep... No. And listen, and I want to indulge that. I believe in your right to get mad. Yeah, and it just feels like, and I can't believe I'm saying it about a Tom Izzo program, but it just sort of feels like a rudderless ship right now. Like,
no, don't say that.
Nope. I mean, I'm just saying, like, what is the direction forward? I'm just asking, like, is what is the game plan? That's what I want to know. Because is the game plan to roll out a starting five next year of Fears, Holloman, Akins, like Booker and Carson Cooper?
Yes, like, actually, currently, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So you're okay with being a double-digit seed again? Then?
No, I don't know if that team makes the tournament.
That's the point I'm trying to make, is that if that's your, if that's the plan, okay. That's the plan. I'll catch you next year. Like, I know it makes me a snob, but
you're not wrong, dude.
But no, that's all I'm saying is, like, you are then settling into, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
Take that Sweet 16 appearance away from Michigan State and look at the last 4 years. Look at the post Cassius Winston.
No, dude.
Era.
Give it to him. This doesn't mean anything.
No, even so, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, like, it's nothing. It's nothing. You're a middle of the road. At this point, you are a middle of the road Big Ten program. You have unquestionably been usurped by Purdue, lapped by Purdue, passed by Illinois.
Yeah. You know what's worse? You know, Wisconsin is struggling right now. They want guard gone, by the way. We can enjoy that.
That is fun.
But here's the thing. Fortunately, we've picked a great time to be bad because no one is making any moves in our dumpy conference. Fortunately, the biggest movers have been the people who have been in this, like, the cellar. So it's very hard for them to truly move up, like, in serious contention when you talk about Northwestern basketball and Nebraska basketball.
Yeah, like, for sure. And there's no consistency there either.
Right. And so, like, yes, they are, in the past 4 years, maybe more consistent than MSU, but I'm sorry, I just can't give that. But here's the thing. MSU made the tournament the last 4 years. That's that's what they do. That is really good. That is not as good as the standard that Tom Izzo set. So that is the reaction that you're getting from fans. And Tom's the first person, though, that even said after the game, like, he's going to die trying to win that tournament. And I think he's a smart enough guy to know that the way he's been doing it didn't work. And there are elements that he can take with it to the next strategy, but it's not that strategy. And there's no way I just refuse to believe a Hall of Fame coach could say something like, I'm going to die trying to win this tournament, and then do nothing really different, because that would be insane.
Yeah. And I really, really, really hope you're right. I really do. Like, and I believe that you are, but I think that the part I'm the most incredulous about, and a place I really never expected to get to, was the fact that it's, in my opinion, it's an open question. Like, it is something that we need to see evidence of, because you didn't the last two off seasons, really. You didn't. I mean, you need some, it's just something's got to shake up. I'm not saying they got to go out and, you know, land the four biggest guys out of the portal or, you know, anything crazy like that, but you got to do something. I think it would be, I think everybody across this entire program, like, needs to, how they respond, how this group of players responds to it, just tells me so much. Like, it tells you everything. It tells you if this program still has juice. It, like, how the freshmen come in and play next year. Like, you literally cannot afford to have freshmen not come in and contribute. And so, even if you go get two starters from the portal, you're right, still going to need those guys to come in. So it's like, can the coaches, whomever they are, get kids ready to play faster and more effectively than they did this year? Don't know. Like, that, you just don't know the answer to that question right now. Right. So there's a lot more questions than I think anybody really
is comfortable.
You shouldn't feel comfortable right now.
I think the good news is the fan base is still vibrant, wants what Tom wants, expects it. Because as soon as you start to have apathy towards any of it, then it gets infinitely harder. And on the flip side, I would say if any of the coaches are shocked or in any way surprised by the fan base's reaction to this season, the past seasons, or the job that's been done so far, I would say this is kindergarten compared to, the things I read on the Kentucky message board about John Calipari, like, would it's like the Office episode where Creed wants to write a blog and BJ Novak, like, just basically puts him in a Word document because he was like, even for the internet, it was pretty shocking.
Yeah. But
that is what a lot of that stuff was on the Kentucky message board. Like, some shocking, shocking things were said. I mean,
they want him gone.
Yeah, in a lot of different ways to say that word.
Yeah. Some
really bummer ways about that word gone. They're insane. And I'm not saying that, like, that is appropriate or good. I'm just saying, like, I would say that this program has some rational and reasonable concerns and maybe even that are validated that are nothing like what's happening maybe at some of those other places. Like when Duke missed the tournament in North Carolina, like, man, that was ugly. When Purdue lost last year, it got, I don't know, gnashing of teeth. Like, it was bad. And so I'm just saying, I don't think it's a huge – I don't think we're being unreasonable, to be honest. I haven't seen too many people be unreasonable. The only ones I've seen that have been unreasonable are any of these really young people who have really not experienced enough life to understand that Izzo is not in any way, shape, or form the key cog of the problem. He is good and right, and there's replacing him is not the answer at all.
Yeah, that's a silly thing to say. If you and that's not, I know it probably sounds in some ways like I'm hinting at that. In no way, shape, or form am I advocating for that. Listen, it's also fair to point out that there have been dry spells in the Izzo era before.
But the floor of a dry spell is making the tournament. And right. It can't be lost on us. It can be.
For sure. I think where you would get some level of pushback there is is it worth it to just keep making it as a team that flamed out in the first two rounds?
100% yes.
I'm
just saying, if the options are not making the tournament on a guess with a new head coach.
No, I don't mean with a new head coach.
I'm just saying those are the options. The floor of this program is make the tournament, and maybe it's fixable enough to win six games, right? It's not a fixer upper. This is remodeling, or the other option is roll the dice, hope you get another guy who can win 26 straight seasons worth of NCAA tournament appearances. Not gonna happen.
May never happen again.
It won't. It simply won't. Statistically, it would be insane for Michigan State to land another person that did that. So,
yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at – you're almost certainly looking at the best coach your program will ever have. To insinuate that you could do better, not just immediately following, but ever.
Right.
Is ever in the remainder of time.
It's arrogant.
Yeah. Well, it's just unrealistic.
Right.
I mean, you say that it's not like all-time greats haven't followed other all-time greats in, positions or coaching or whatever. Like, it certainly happened, no question. But it's not the Izzo. Izzo's not the guy. He's not the head that needs to roll. And he certainly deserves, if nothing else, the ability to decide whom's head does in fact need to roll. I think where the questions lie are what's going to win out in his mind, right? Is it going to be, I'm going down with the guys that brought me to the dance, pride, that kind of pride. I mean, we saw it from our old head football coach once upon a time, or is he going to innovate and admit, hey, I need some voices in the room that can help me. I need guys that have, can help develop talent maybe a little bit better than we've seen in the very recent past. I think that's where the alarm bells are going off in some people's mind, and where you really, if he doesn't do something, he risks the trajectory of the program just sort of flattens out, and you just sort of become this, or you stay this, to be very clear, 7-10 seed type of team, which is what they've been since Cassius Winston left. And I know I keep bringing up his name, but it's such a clear divide. And I guess that's what happens when you lose an all-time great, but that's an all-time great that developed over the course of, 3 to 4 years. That's he's the quintessential example of what the program was for so long. And I will say this, he probably covered up, him and Xavier Tillman probably covered up some warts that we at that time may not have necessarily admitted that existed. Because if you look around the rest of, especially their senior year team, not to say, and their Final Four team the year before that, it's not to say that there aren't good players. Like Matt McQuaid obviously was a good player, but you know,
he developed.
Like, he developed 100%. But I remember everyone holding their breath when Kyle Ahrens went down in the Big Ten championship game. Like Kyle Ahrens, again, certainly a capable role player, but people were like, oh my God, we're done because Kyle Ahrens went down. Like,
yeah,
you know, there were maybe a few more cracks than we would have wanted to admit, but
that's what the greats do though.
Well, then you lose. Yeah, that's just it. You lose the all timer and you know, it looks a little bit different in the light.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, I think these are all fair things to say though. Like, I don't think we're speaking out of turn. I don't think we're saying anything that people haven't thought. And I think Tom Izzo certainly is an infinitely smarter individual than either of us. And he knows all this stuff. I just want to see him act on it. Like we could be sitting here in September or whatever and being like, okay, we're ready to go. Problems have been addressed. We're confident about the development of these guys. Freshman class looks great. Maybe there's another addition to that class, you know, and we're feeling a whole lot different going into, you know, feeling like we usually do. But right. I think for the first time in a really long time, maybe ever, we're sitting here thinking like, it might not. People are like, oh, it might actually not be like that. And that scares people.
Program needs some new juice, you know, and that comes with new faces. So we'll see how that comes together. Should we get any more about the hoops team? You want to get off your chest? How do you feel?
No, I think, I think it's pretty obvious how I feel. I guess to put a bow on all of it, like, I believe that it can get fixed in time for next year.
Yeah.
If I look at the Big Ten next year, I'm not scared. I'm not, like, just on its surface, I'm not scared. Purdue, finally, Zach Edey's going to be gone and we can get a fairly officiated game in the Big Ten. You know, I'm just going up and down the standings here. Sure. Illinois, sure. Terrence Shannon is going to be gone. I don't know if Damask is, I don't know what year he is. He's probably coming back. Northwestern loses.
I think he's gone.
Damask is gone as well. I mean, like, okay, so let's just do some
23
looking.
Years old. But
oh, geez. Yeah. Job. Shannon, Damask, and Coleman Hawkins will all be gone from Illinois. Nebraska, I don't really know the status. I'm not going to get worried about Nebraska basketball. I know Northwestern's losing some guys. I have to imagine Wisconsin has a handful of dudes I know, like Chucky Hepburn's gone. I think Crowell is gone. And then the next two teams in front of us in the standings this year, Indiana and Iowa. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be nervous about those programs. So that's the thing that makes it so important is we look at it and we're like, hey, listen. If you get it right, it's there. It's waiting to be had. It is truly waiting to be taken. And
no one else is trying. Like, we just have to
try. Just show up. Like, honestly, like, show up with a typical tip. And when I say typical, I mean last 26 years typical, not the last 4 years typical Michigan State roster. And you are without question in the race to win this conference. I don't think any of the programs below Michigan State in the standings this year, Minnesota, Ohio State, Penn State, Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan, with maybe the slight exception of Ohio State, because we saw them kind of catch fire towards the end of the year. None of those programs. What's that?
Just a little juice. That's all.
Little juice. Quite a bit of juice. You know, I don't think we're seeing any of them blow the doors off next year.
Indiana was their coach gone. Like,
Indiana should have never wanted their coach there in the first place. I mean, right. it's ridiculous. So, you know, it is so incredibly wide open if MSU just wants to go and take it. And I think Izzo's smart enough to know exactly that.
How do you feel about the Dusty May hire?
I think as a Michigan State fan, I'm a huge fan. Here's what I'll say about Dusty May. Kudos to you, my friend.
Yep.
Congratulations. You did what everybody every college football coach or college football, see where my mind's going, college basketball coach should try to do, which is
the dream.
Cash in, even cashed in arguably a year late.
Yeah,
he probably should have gone somewhere a year before. Listen, it's not nothing to make Florida Atlantic basketball a relevant household name. He deserves credit for that. I mean, even making the postseason, not just the postseason, made the Final Four last year. I mean, they made the tournament the last two seasons, but he's made it the last two seasons and he's lost his last two games in that tournament. And what do you think their biggest margin of victory was last year?
20.
8.
Come on.
They beat Fairleigh Dickinson by 8. Their four games that they won were Memphis, they beat by 1, 66-65 in the first round, number 8 seed. Then they beat Fairleigh Dickinson because they just so happened to beat Purdue. We all know that. Forgot that was fun. Yeah, so they played a 16 seed in the second round, won by 8. Played Tennessee in the Sweet 16, won by 7. Played Kansas State in the Elite 8, won by 3. Great wins. Take nothing away from them. And they only lost to San Diego State by 1. They were 1 point away from playing in the national championship game. Florida Atlantic. Like, it deserves a lot of credit for that. This year, honestly, the season, not all that different from Michigan State. I would actually argue that it was more disappointing than Michigan State, not relative to program standards, but relative to how you came into the year. I mean, they were probably ranked, I think, comfortably in the top 10 coming into the season. They went 25-9, you know, in the non-conference alone, they lost to Northwestern. Well, that was the postseason, sorry. In the non-conference, they lost to Bryant. They lost to Illinois. They lost to Florida. And then in the conference, they lost to Gulf Coast, Charlotte, UAB, Memphis, Temple. Again, I don't think any of those teams made the tournament. So
UAB did.
UAB did, yes. My apologies. They were your 12 seed. And then they lost by 12 to Northwestern. And they absolutely shat the bed in that game if you watched it. They totally fell apart. And then I think about 3 hours later, my man was hired by Michigan. You know, credit to him. One day, I will say this. He's shown he knows how to work the portal. So if you're a Michigan fan, you should feel encouraged by the fact that he could probably go out and bring in some names.
Well, he can't because the academic problem that they
yes, of course. Yeah, that's definitely why Doug McDaniel's going to leave. Definitely why Hunter Dickinson probably left, for sure. So, you know, I think
if your best attribute is portal hunting and you can't portal hunt at the place you just got paid to go, I'm pumped you got paid. Like, good on you.
Bro, if they weren't ranked in the top 10 this year, they would not have been a tournament team. I mean, if you go back, definitely not. Like, they didn't win their conference. They didn't win their conference or their conference tournament.
Well, yeah, they got a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. But you're right about last year getting to play a 16. Like, that can't be lost.
No. Oh, my gosh. That's a huge, I mean, that's a big time break.
Little backdoor action to the Final Four. Hey, we've been the beneficiary of a one seed going down to in the past. So, not hating, just observing.
Just observing. So yeah, I'm cool with the hire. Won't keep me up at night.
Same. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to finish with hockey here?
Yeah, hey. We watched the game.
Dude.
Some of it.
Oh, man. So this is the part where most of you turned it off. But if you are looking for the casual fans overview of what's taken place and what will soon to happen, stick around. If only to laugh at probably how wrong we are. So since we left you, MSU took down Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. 5-4 is a thriller. And some are saying the Big Ten tournament is way cooler than the NCAA tournament. I will hold that thought until we see how we perform in the NCAA tournament. So wait on that. But I will say, yeah, the hockey team showed up. It was a wild game. And, I mean, if you're new to hockey, like, no better way to be introduced than something like that. That was pretty cool. And shout out to all the new faces. Here's proof in the pudding right here. You know, put some new faces in there and you can jumpstart a program, get some juice and turn it around really quickly. And like these guys did. So hadn't won the conference since 2006. That is a long time. So these guys, we'll talk about the Michigan game for a minute if you'd like, but advance to locking up the one seed for the NCAA tournament and will soon be dropping the puck. I guess you call it facing off, right?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, man. We really should have talked.
Is that where it's from? Like facing off.
Huh. It could be. We should have been talking about hockey. That's a pun that's like 10 years too late. To talk just about the end of that game, I tuned in for, I'll be honest, I tuned in for the third period, most of it, and overtime. I love overtime hockey in general. Not even going to lie.
I love your ride and die with these guys. I love it.
100%. But overtime was electric, man. Munn was on fire. Horrific TV setup. The cameras are far too low. And so we got to, you know, listen, we're learning. We're just getting back to the big time here. But something we got to work on from a TV production perspective. Not great.
Room for improvement. We'll leave it at that. An opportunity.
Yeah. We'll look back and think it was charming the first time we won. The goal was just awesome. To throw it off the post from the point was just, oh, man. To win that there against that team in that way when they had won it the year before, pretty cool, pretty darn cool. And then looking at the NCAA tournament, what's really nice is that I immediately have something to get mad about.
Yes.
So the NCAA tournament, I was reading, I saw the draw, right. And like, again, I am at best a tangential college hockey fan, like, follow the social media.
You were hardcore as of today.
Well, I mean, I'm trending in that direction for sure. But when I think I like follow the social media accounts, whatever. So I saw that their bracket had Michigan in it. So only 16 teams, first of all, only 16 teams make the NCAA tournament in hockey, which is kind of cool in my opinion. And then there's four regions.
There are like 40 teams, like, so that's.
Yeah, well, that's true. But it's just, I don't know, it's cool. It's only that many. But there's the way that they do the draws is regional. So, like, Michigan State's bracket includes Western Michigan. They play Western Michigan in their first, like, that's their first opponent. And then if they win, they play the winner of, I think it's Michigan and North Dakota or something like that.
Yes.
So, like, you might have to play Michigan again. Like,
dumb.
To get to the four. No, I mean, listen, complete the sweep, right? Like, beat them in the regular season champ, tournament champ.
That'd be pretty defeating for them, so I'm all for it, actually.
Yeah, so it's cool. But it's like, what? Like, how did we do that? And they're playing in a place I've never heard of, like somewhere in Missouri or something. I have no idea. But Could be cool to play and beat Michigan again. Can't be mad about that. Yeah, it's cool, man. I thought the jerseys look cool. I don't know. I'm in. Adam Nightingale seems like a great coach. Seems to love his players. It was cool. It was cool to like learn a little bit more about the storylines behind the guys, because they've had guys that were there through, you know, what they called lean years when the program was not in good shape, that are still like big contributors. So to see them get to like participate in something like that is very, very cool.
Hey man, seeing it through, you know, it's incredible. Like you said, MSU is going to go to a weird place, play in front of like 2,500 people. Hopefully that as college hockey gets more popular, because fan bases like Michigan State get more involved, we can raise the profile a little bit and fix this little problem that college hockey seems to have. Because I would bet that MSU fans who have nowhere to travel for basketball would be interested in traveling to an NHL arena to watch MSU play if they had the opportunity. So it's not to say it can't happen in the Frozen Four, but I promise MSU would have traveled for their game.
Oh, yeah.
Against Western Michigan, although it is a little weird to travel to Missouri to play Western Michigan. regardless, you know, MSU is hot right now. I think, you know, as hockey goes, one thing that I can tell you is that if you have a good goalie, a hot goalie, that can ride you past your capability or talent level. MSU has one of the best goalies in the nation, a freshman, and I think you told me he's is he a Red Wing?
Or yes, Trey Augustine.
Yeah, so 19 years old, absolute stud. His best years of hockey are in front of him, and we're fortunate enough to have him here for this run. If he is, you know, plays to his ceiling, he'll never reach his ceiling this year. But like, if he plays his best, this is a guy that can carry you. So you got that going for you, right? And as you also mentioned, while they do have a lot of role players that are from some of the leaner years, they do have a lot of studs as well. So the opportunity, you know, they're being a one seed, they didn't like fall into that. Like they earned it. And as you said, you know, there's some more blue bloods on the other side of the hockey sphere in North Dakota and Michigan, but certainly MSU knows that they can beat the likes of Michigan. They just did. They have in the regular season, and no reason to feel that they can't win a couple and move on to the Frozen Four. So not getting ahead of ourselves, but certainly we'll be interested in watching. You did mention, you know, not just Michigan being in the tournament, but also Minnesota and Wisconsin. So a fourth of the NCAA tournament is Big Ten teams. I think that's cool. It's a bummer.
Just
that
means more.
It's kind of that. Well, but I will say, you know, MSU, while probably the best team in this little foursome, is going to be hoping maybe for an upset or two on the other sides of the bracket. But we'll cross those bridges when we need to. How far do you have MSU going? I already laid my bet, I think, last time we talked on a natty. I got to check those odds right now, though.
Oh, yeah. All the way, baby. Take it. Go. I mean,
I don't want to get really into this and have the floor pulled out from under me. Like,
yeah, I don't need another one, man.
I want this team to win. I just don't want to like get really. I'm not going to do the thing that Michigan fans did with baseball, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
They pretended they had a clue, and it was like, just shut up.
It's like, no, you don't. Shut up. Yeah. We're doing this the right way. Defer to the hardos, because there are people out there that are hardos and watch this, and they are better fans than we are. There's no question.
Yes.
But there's nothing wrong with being a bandwagon guy. Like, I don't need another team to get overly invested in. I have enough of that. I already have two from this school alone. I really don't need a third.
Fourth, Fourth best odds to win the Nat, though. I mean, that makes sense. They're like the fourth number one seed. So
yeah, the sites of these four games are hysterical. It's Providence, Rhode Island, Maryland Heights, Missouri. That's where the Spartans are going. Sioux Falls and Springfield, Mass.
That one makes sense.
Yeah, sure. But it's, I mean, Providence kind of does too. Look, what's going on in Maryland Heights, Missouri? That's a place. If you told me you could have said, is this a real place? I would have said absolutely no idea. Could sounds be an AI generated location.
They signed up. They submitted their open skate for this weekend to host an NCAA tournament game. Like,
what do you guys think?
Like, what happened? Like, I need the sport to take itself more seriously.
Maybe it's like FIFA, where it's just bribes coming in. Like, it's like how Qatar got the World Cup, you know. Exactly. But it's, you know, the Maryland Heights, Missouri. I'm looking it up right now. If it's near the Ozarks, then we might have like a whole like Ozark thing going on here, where we got money getting funneled in from some uncouth sources, perchance. No, it appears to just be like roughly outside of St. Louis. It's actually directly next to the St. Louis airport. Wow, I have so many questions.
I'm really pumped to just make my own assumptions and not learn more.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. There is a casino in might be now. There's two airports, one large, one small. There's a Crèvecoeur soccer complex. Looks like we got a bit of a park. We got the Rise Adventure St. Louis Ropes Course and zipline and mini golf. Whoa. Okay. Maryland Heights might have some stuff going on.
Yeah, dude. You've only made this place way cooler.
Yeah. This is Walgreens. So, Ace Hardware. What doesn't it have? Yeah,
this get your prescriptions there.
Yeah, the Hollywood. Okay, yeah, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Oh, they got a concert venue. Oh, Dave and Buster's. Man, you know what's not good is when a casino doesn't even have 4 stars on Google. That's not usually great.
Yeah, I would. I didn't expect much though. So if you went in,
no. Rooms are $84 a night. So do with that information what you will. Sounds like a good place to be.
Man, got any more?
Nah, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, John.
Well, let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey. Yeah. Slap that puck, boys. John, guess what? This show was presented by Bet Online.
Nice work.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, guys, as always, sorry, been more of a somber episode, but, you know, we believe in being honest with you, as we always have. Keep tuning in.
It'll get better.
Yeah, for sure. Now we're getting into the offseason where all you can do is win, so don't worry about it. Okay, cool. All right, guys, thanks as always for sticking with us. For John, this is Austin. We'll catch you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.